Roll call.
Yes.
Commissioner Conser.
Here.
Commissioner Enriquez.
Here.
Commissioner Gregorio.
Here.
Commissioner Padilla. Commissioner Zaram.
Here.
Commissioner Calvo.
Here.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're now going to go to item number three, which is public comments. By state law, items that are not on the agenda, the commission is not able to take any action on it. We have one member of the public, Mr. Johnson. The floor is yours, sir.
Hello, board.
Oh, sir.
So, last week was a doozy for the board. It went from having three meetings scheduled, they even continued to have a meeting that they didn't post, right? But I caught them on this and brought it to their attention, and they canceled all the meetings. But it's funny how it took a citizen to pay attention to the workers who are getting paid to do this, to enforce that their duties are to inform the public. Today's meeting wasn't on the calendar until today. The audio from your previous meeting is not on available, and that's a Brown Act violation right there. I do hope that they correct this, because even the paperwork that they're uploading doesn't include public comments. I'm the one who's putting in those comments. They left them on the table and didn't even give one of you guys a copy. At every other board meeting I go to, they'll give you all a copy of it because they want you to know what the public says. Now, I'm pretty much pointing out everything in those emails. I didn't receive a notification through the notification system. I told them that last time. You know, we got board support to have them even try to correct this, and they didn't make any progress, unfortunately. Now, I don't know what the proper procedure is for tonight's meeting, because it doesn't seem like it was fairly published to the public. I will be making a point of this at the city council, and I will be filing complaints this time because I gave them grace last time. So I did call them this afternoon before the meeting, and they did get it on the calendar. I made note of the time and everything when I saw it. I really expect people who are getting paid to do this stuff to actually follow through with what we discussed even last time. I don't want to come up here and have this public comment. That's not my job. I want the public to be informed enough that I don't have to do this, and maybe more people will be in these chairs rather than a cancellation 2 days later than having this meeting over a weekend saying that counts as business days or whatnot. I wish I could have came up tonight and said something good, right? I wish I could have said, like, let's highlight the Harborside Park stuff and all this other things on the agenda. But tonight I had to make a point to say this again. So I probably have more to say. There's just so much going on. I cover so many parts of the city. I really just hope that they straighten it out so the public can be informed. And I don't have to make another public comment in 2 more months about the same thing. So, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, so now we have a presentation by Deputy City Manager Courtney Chase.
That is me. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to meet you. The floor is yours.
All right, thank you. My name is Courtney Chase. I'm Deputy City Manager, and we actually have, I'm here to do an overview of an update on Measure P, but you actually have a Measure P Commissioner here with us, so thank you. So, sorry you're having to see this again,
no
but
worries.
It's a great presentation, I think. So, as part of Measure P, and as we look at a possible extension of Measure P going forward, we actually did this presentation for the Measure P Citizen Oversight Committee, and the recommendation was to take this out and actually socialize it more. One thing I don't think the city does, or the public sector in general, we don't toot our horns enough, and this is some great results of what we've seen with the dollars. So Measure P was a half-cent sales tax that was approved by the voters in 2016, and we started collecting funds in 2017. So it is it's for a 10-year period, and with that came a Citizens Oversight Committee, of which the Parks and Rec Commission can designate a member to be on that. And what established this is the city spent 2 or 3 years doing an infrastructure facilities and improvement plan, and it kind of went down to every handle, doorknob in the city that was out there. So it kind of looked at all the assets that we had, all the infrastructure, and tried to identify what assets were in greatest need of help. So basically red, yellow, green of what needed to happen. I actually had this picture on here before the rains in January, but there's a lot of things you can see, like the streets, if they're in good repair or not, sidewalks, if they're lifting or not. There's other things we did, like corrugated metal pipe. My background is in HR. I had no idea what this was, but this is what prevents you from getting a sinkhole when it's round. But when it starts to flatten out or deteriorate, this is where you end up with sinkholes and poor drainage in your city. So we've spent a lot of the funds on roads, replacing different infrastructure like Loma Verde or roofs on rec centers and putting money into facilities. But there's also a lot of things we have done underground to make sure everything keeps flowing. So like I said, this was to pave, maintain, and repair our streets and fix potholes, and specifically residential streets. So a lot of the main roads have other funding that can be used to maintain the large arterials, but our residential roads, pavement is rated from 0 to 100, and the goal of Measure P was to hit roads that were rated from 0 to 25. Because we've had more revenue come in, we've actually been able to accomplish doing roads with up to ratings of 33, which so exceeding what we had initially intended the funds to be able to do. We've replaced fire stations and moved them. We've updated our police station. A number of response vehicles, emergency response vehicles, we've been able to upgrade. Like I said, storm drains, updating irrigation systems, and then things like the library roofs. So things we've done, Moore Park, which there's some of these things that every commission I go to knows a little bit more about than others, but Moore Park, you know, about, like I said, the residential street rehab and repair, and then upgrading the city's network. So also looking at what we can do to make the city a safer place. So the way it's been described to me that I think was a great visual was now we can see if someone's knocking on our door to get in to our network for security reasons, and we've actually seen it's kept people out, the upgrade that we've done, because we can see them out there trying to get in and not being successful. Working on things like drainage, like I said, 19,000 linear feet of right-of-way. We've worked on sidewalks. So we've done two things. One is there was a sidewalk ask inventory report that was done to see where lifts were throughout the city of sidewalks. If it's under a certain height, they can actually go down and shave off the sidewalk, and you'll see that as you walk around. If the lift is too high, they have to actually replace that segment of sidewalk. So that was done throughout the city. To over 7,600 locations throughout the city, so sidewalk improvements. And then also updating traffic signals to make them more visible, working on different left turns and making them safer. I said fire facilities, so we've actually picked up and moved or created new fire stations in two different locations. So our fire department analyzed where responses and where calls were coming from for each station. And they actually changed the location of two fire department stations, and it's decreased response times for those units based on moving the stations of where they're at, based on where calls were coming in, calls for service. And they're actually right now, if you see Fire Station 1 at Civic Center, they're remodeling that with Measure P dollars, so that they're actually living there during the remodel, so they're doing half the building, and then they're moving to the other side. So that's what you see happening there. And then we've also invested money in our police dispatch system, so updating the CAD system, and expanding technology capabilities. So if you get a chance to go to the police department during National Night Out, you can get a tour of the 911 dispatch center. But they actually now have live 911 where the officers can hear the incoming calls when they're in the field. So it's just one of the many improvements that have been made to that area. There's done obviously Loma Verde, which is absolutely beautiful. I assume you've all been there based on being on the Parks and Rec Commission. Okay. So you know about that. So that was originally slated just to be a remodel, but when everyone went out there and saw the condition, what it was in, and then having these extra funds that have come in through the tax measure, it was scraped to the ground and is the beautiful facility that it is today. Other things like Civic Center Library, there we've worked on ADA access, some electrical on the roof. So really at the beginning of this, it was really to stop further deterioration of the facilities and infrastructure we had. So there was a lot of roofing projects that took place, even though we still have a number of that need to happen, but really stopping other water intrusion or other things from happening to further impact our facilities. But we haven't rested on our laurels. I think Joy's probably been to some of these meetings, but she was able to get $19.5 million in state grants for Civic and South Library. So $9.75 million will now be going back into both of those facilities to work on them. Because there are certain things we can do with grants, like add amenities, like you're going to see at Eucalyptus Park, but then we're supplementing it with Measure P funds where it's assets that were already there. How can we make those nicer and make them look like the rest of the park? So when that does reopen, you're not going to see the old tennis courts next to beautiful new pickleball courts. So they're going to resurface now other the tennis courts that are there. So we've been able to really add a lot of value with the Measure P dollars, along with still going to grab other funding that exists out there. So if you go on our website, and these pictures are actually a little bit outdated now, there's a Measure P, cityofchulavista.com/Measure P, and you can see all the facilities that we've worked on. You can go to the next page. Community facilities, the parks, fields, and courts, next page. Energy and water enhancements, next page. Public safety buildings we've worked on. The storm drains, it's very light in here, but it shows different segments of where enhancements have been taken citywide. The streets, which you can see, the number of streets is very impressive. If you, I don't live in the city, but it's lovely to drive here. I can drive home, so I appreciate it. Go ahead, next one. Sidewalks, and we've now done more on the east, on the east side now. But when I first, this was the top layer on the old GIS plot, and I thought when I first opened it, it was just wrong, because it was all yellow, but the number of sidewalks we've worked on. Okay. So as I mentioned, the Measure P, it was first expected to raise $165.5 million, but actually it's anticipated to bring in around $245 million at this point in time. So with that, at the beginning, the city actually bonded $70 million out of the gate because there were so many infrastructure projects that needed to take place. That will be repaid with the funds that are raised through this 10-year process. And then we also have a Citizens Oversight Committee, like I said, of which you can actually go to that. The Parks and Rec Commission actually can place someone on that commission or recommend someone to place on, which you do have Commissioner Enriquez on that commission. They review the spending to make sure it's in compliance with the Measure P spending plan that was adopted. Also, there also is an audit annually of the funds that are being spent, external audit that happens that's approved by the commission and then a report out to council. So what Measure P, the first one has done, and as we look at going to the future, it's maintaining the local funding without raising taxes further, but we're looking at exploring another 10-year extension to Measure P that currently exists to continue to upgrade the streets, underground storm drains, and other local infrastructure. Other things we would see it be using for that we did not the first time is the city had a large influx of funds and capital improvement projects without extra staff to do it, because that was a commitment in the first round. But now as we look at it and these funds come in these massive projects, it would be helpful to have staff to run those projects, but also other things. We did, we have done one polling of the community, and actually next Tuesday a survey will be sent to every resident in the city to get feedback of what are the highest priority items for the community as we look at a second Measure P. When we first looked at it, really things that have come up with now are the homelessness, addressing homelessness, but really keeping the parks, I think as we were talking about even here, safe and clean. So looking at adding staff in the budget that was currently adopted or is going to council tomorrow night, but proposed by the city manager, looking at adding additional public works staff to work on the cleanup that happens. So right now, we don't have a full public works crew. We contract out to do some of that cleanup. We have two park rangers that do it. So they're adding two FTE in the budget. And then if something that as Measure P, the second round could go for, would be adding a couple more staff that could then complete a work crew so that you'd have two groups out there continually picking up and addressing. So things that the funds could be used for, like I said, sorry, addressing homelessness. And a lot of things we've continued to use it for because there are still streets that need to be paved. They're only as good as the day you do them, but maintaining the pavement, maintaining fleet, making improvements to intersection, continuing to look at underground stormwater and pipes, and then, like I said, addressing homeless encampments and increasing cleanup efforts. We would continue to require public disclosure of all spending. and keep maintain the COC that currently exists to review that. But just for knowledge, the essential purchases such as groceries are currently excluded from the sales tax. So there are a number of things that are excluded from what happens. So here's where we are today. We're building awareness and just talking about what Measure P has done to date and what we would look forward to using the funds for in the future. We will be going back to council probably next month to explore the possibility of putting a second Measure P on the ballot. We have received the question, why now instead of in 2 years when the measure expires? We have a greater need, and we know that, than the money we have now. So if this funding is going to end in 2 years, we need to know so that we can plan accordingly, because there is not a, there's not really a backstop for a lot of the money that we're doing for these capital improvement projects. And then here is a quote from our chair of the Measure P Citizen Oversight Committee. So that is the end of my presentation, but I'm available if there are any questions.
Questions?
The plan wouldn't be to overlap.
It would be to 10 years
succeed it.
Yes.
Okay. I got a couple of questions.
Sure.
First of all, the work that's being done on the streets is fantastic. It's excellent. I tell my wife, I know exactly when I enter another city because of the condition of the streets.
Yes.
That's really, really good work. I didn't see anything about creek beds, brush abatement, things of that nature. One of the problems that we're having down Chula Vista, myself included, is if you live near a creek bed, your insurance is being canceled. Mine was, because I'm within 1,000 feet of a creek bed that has a great deal of brush on it. And then given the recent rains, what happened in the city of San Diego, where creeks weren't being maintained, and there was a lot of flooding, and a lot of people went through, and still going through, a lot of heartache.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anything on Proposition P and the projects that would address creek beds, brush, things of that nature.
I will bring that back to our public works director, but I'll also bring it to our fire chief. So we have, and I don't know that they're doing creek beds right now, but we are doing brush abatement. So through Measure A, the other sales tax that exists. So they're doing brush abatement through, the fuels crews. So they actually have people coming in, and it's funded through Measure A, and they're clearing fuels because we do, and it was primarily focused on fire, same insurance issues with that, but I will be happy to bring back the creek abatement because it falls under the same things. Those are the groups that do our swift water rescue and things like that during times of emergency.
Thank you. Another question that I have is Proposition P was, is the funds going to the general budget? Because it didn't require a supermajority.
Correct.
Okay. Now, one of the concerns back in the day was that in the event of a fiscal emergency, those funds could be borrowed and used for something else. It hasn't happened. So for the 2024 ballot proposition, this also be for the general fund, or will it be earmarked for specific things where it takes a supermajority for it to pass?
As we look at it now, what we would be proposing to council is to keep it the way it is now, but with the Citizen Oversight Committee in place, so a general fund revenue.
Okay. And would the city anticipate going to the bond market again as soon as the extension passes?
We would not go to the bond market again. So that initial bond influx was able to manage the things that had to happen very quickly. But now that we have an ongoing stream of revenue, we really do need to have the staffing to spend the money and do projects in a responsible way.
Okay, that's good, because the city would have to pay a lot more interest.
Right, yeah. We had very low bond rating back then, too. But no, we would not go back out to the market.
That's the only questions that I have. Are there any other questions?
Yeah, I have one. Go ahead.
So I noticed, like, on the infographics, there were percentages, like, up at the top when you were talking about, public facilities. I'm assuming that was, like, in total the money that was being raised and how much of a percentage that is, or is it that the percentage is like how much of the total project has been completed?
No, that was where the funds have been allocated at that point in time. So it'll move a little bit as we finish the expenditure plan, but at that point in time when we looked at, that's how we were able to kind of group it together.
So do you guys have like an idea as to how far along or how much more money you're looking to essentially raise to cover all of these projects?
So as we look at the number right now, and that's where we're internally looking at all the things we have right now, because we have a number of different studies that we have on. We have a sidewalk study, we have a street survey, we have a roof study, but then we also know we look around and we have, say, Oleander, right, that needs to be reopened and used as a rec center. I mean, it's there, it's at a location that should really be rehabbed. We have the women's club. We have a lot of competing interests when we go through it all, and we very quickly came up with over $300 million that we could spend. So right now, we're bringing in about $28 million a year. So I think it's not out of line to say we'd probably end up with around $300 million. And we can spend, you know, how many millions on Maxfield getting, like we're doing for the ADA things that need to happen and leveling out. So I think we can find ways to spend it. It's just making sure we do it in a way that kind of tries to hit everything in its best way, but then also where do we think we can also find other revenues in other streams to cover some of those things. And that's what we've done on some of it this time, is we get funds from other things, we kind of move it and reallocate it. And I think right now the commission's around $20 million that's unallocated, that's a ish, 20, 22, 25 million that hasn't been allocated already to in the spending plan of what we would anticipate for the current measure.
Any other questions?
Yes. I've seen some work in creek beds, and because I think most of you know I'm out and about a lot in the open space. And there is a need to remove the pampas grass in the creeks because it's highly flammable and it's invasive. And there was a plan, Sam, I don't know how to say his last name.
Owen Dunphy?
Yeah, he had a plan, and creek behind my house and others, it was all going to be removed, and then COVID hit,
okay. And
all those plans went away. And I don't know where the money went that was set aside to do that removal.
Find out.
And we had him and who's, is it Myron or somebody, the fire guy, the guy that's designated for fire suppression within the fire department, he monitors the open spaces. We had him come and talk to us and Sam last year because a lot of us were concerned about some of the trimming.
Oh, Marlon King?
Yeah, that's the individual, yes. Okay. And they did brief us on their plans because they got some kind of grant from FEMA or something last year that they were using, and we thought the hikers and the mountain bikers thought they were being overly aggressive in the amount of brush they were removing and basically denuding some of the hills in the canyon. So he came and briefed us and told us what the plans were. But there is more that needs to be done, and my insurance hasn't been canceled yet, but some of my neighbors has because we're on a canyon, and they consider it to be a fire hazard.
Okay.
Now, the open space guy said that they will be coming this month and next month to trim, 10 feet behind your back fence.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently that is funded through Public Works to take care of that, but...
And the fuels crew with Marlon is working in conjunction with Open Space to try and identify the spaces working together, but I'm more than happy to find out what happened with both of those. We can work on getting that back.
Yeah, the invasive, especially the pampas grass in the creeks, it dries out and it's for highway flammable.
Yeah, and I know there's certain times of year when certain things are breeding that they can't work in certain areas, so when every brush removal that they're doing, they're actually having that environmental.
Yeah, you got birding season, right? And they're nesting season, so you can't touch some of it. Now, the real estate tax for the city, do you know if it went up from last year?
Real estate tax?
Yeah, that's your other source of income, right?
Oh, our property tax?
Yeah.
I believe it did. I don't know the number offhand.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Any other questions? Well, thank you for coming, Ms. Chase. We really appreciate it.
I'm actually going to hang out for the rest of the meeting and talk to you about Harborside as well.
Okay.
Are you going to talk about the budget too?
No.
I'm going to rely on Sean here to help me.
All right. So we'll move on to item 5 of the agenda, action items. Item 5.1, approval of the minutes. I do have a correction that needs to be made. If you go to page 30 of the PDF, there is item 4.2. Item 4.2 is something that was considered by the commission in 2023, which is the off-leash dog access part. And that has already gone to the council and it's already been approved and it actually was inaugurated. So I don't think that should have been in the minutes. If anybody would disagree, please speak up. So I think the minutes need to be amended and 4.2 needs to be stricken.
Okay.
Chair comments from in the minutes. This is, I did not make that comment that was made by John, Sarah, about Seven Mile Casino. So it has it under chair comments.
So that
because you were, I think Zaram was the, I don't think you were here.
No, I was chairing that meeting.
That March?
The March. Yeah, I was chairing that meeting. As a matter of fact, I was the one that brought it up that there was a comment that was going to be made by John.
Oh, okay.
But it has it on the chair, so I did not make that comment. It was John's comment. So
okay.
Make that change, please. Okay. Any other questions on the minutes? Okay. Then we'll need a motion to approve.
Yes.
I usually refrain from making motions unless people don't speak up, then I'll make the motion in order to move the meeting along. So I'll call for a motion. Anybody wants to make a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll motion to approve with his edits.
Thank you.
Is there a second?
A second.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next, it's item 5.2, which is the approval and recommendation to City Council for fiscal year 24-25, the budget for the Parks and Rec Department. I'm sure you guys have absolutely no questions on it.
All right, so I'm going to talk about that today, guys. Commissioners, thank you for coming out this Monday. Hope it wasn't too much of a burden for you. So basically, this is regarding the commission review and recommendation of City Council to City Council of the proposed fiscal year 24-25 Parks and Recreation budget. So the city manager's proposed fiscal year 24-25 budget has been finalized. The budget is balanced and responsive to community needs, as well as it continues much-needed funding for critical services. On May 7th, Council accepted proposed budget for fiscal year 24-25 and set a public hearing for final consideration and adoption. It included was the Parks and Recreation Department's significant budget adjustments and service impacts to revenues. In the area of revenues, I want to hit on that first. There's an increase in charges for services revenues of $842,913 for expanded special interest classes, recreation programming, and swimming pool activities. In addition, there's an increase in the use of money and property revenues of $354,846 for increased rentals of parks and recreation facilities. Now, in the area of expenditures, there's an increase in personnel services of $1,014,615. This is much in part due to the mid-year addition of our Director of Parks and Recreation, currently going through interviews right now, one Assistant Director of Parks and Recreation, one Management Analyst 2, and then lastly, in addition, an increase in supplies and services expenditures of $344,000, almost $344,000 for independent contractors for programming and for equipment and furnishings. The city manager's focus for this budget was to evaluate the city's organizational structure and ensure that we're working efficiently as an organization. We're fortunate to be back as Parks and Recreation, along with our three positions. So basically what we are asking for you, a recommended action is for the commission to review and discuss the fiscal year 24-25 budget for the Parks and Recreation Department and by majority vote concur with City Council's accepted Parks and Recreation Department budget for fiscal year 24-25. So if you have any questions, you can ask them now. Otherwise, you guys can vote on it.
Questions?
What's the status of it right now? It's already been approved by
it the It has been approved.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The,
so we need council.
The approval takes a second vote, right. Correct?
Yeah, so the city manager's budget was adopted as the council's proposed budget 2 weeks ago, and then tomorrow it is actually on the approval for to be adopted.
Right. And has there been any public comments? Because that's also one of the steps in approving the budget.
Those were allowed at the first reading of it, which was on the 7th, if I'm doing my math right. And there were no public, there were no comments.
No comments.
That I remember. It was late, so there could have been one, but there were some amendments made by council from the dais.
Okay, there are no questions from the commission. I do have some questions, but I will defer to any questions that any of you may have.
I just had one question. The increase in charges for services, is that meaning that like prices went up for classes, or is it like there's additional classes being ran?
Both. So there will be increases. This is regarding the CIP, right?
Yeah, the CPI.
The CPI. So the finance will be raising according to CPI.
But that was as a result of additional revenues that had been received during the year, yeah, based on basically more classes or more involvement in the classes that exist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I think the 0.5 FTE increase, that was the... Was that the Director of Community Services?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And who is that?
That was Tracy. Tracy Lamb.
When Tracy retired, so now it is separate Parks and Rec and Library instead of being Community Services.
Half of
it. Yeah, yes. It was the director position was split between the two.
Got
so.
It.
So now we're both one, Parks and Rec and then Libraries.
Got it. Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, so I do have a couple of questions. Fiscal year starts in July?
July 1.
Correct.
July 1. Okay. So, in looking at the Parks and Rec's classification and changes, et cetera, the mid-year changes, those have been approved already by council?
Yes, those were approved by council mid-year.
Okay. But we still have vacancies, obviously.
We do. So the first round of interviews for the director are happening today and tomorrow for the director of Parks and Recreation. And then once the director position is filled, we'll work on filling the deputy director and let that person be engaged in that discussion.
Okay. And I, looking at the swaps, it looks like the administrative tech position has been eliminated and replaced by...
Management Analyst 2.
Management Analyst
by
2.
What?
Management Analyst 2.
Okay, and what's the difference between an analyst and a technician?
So basically, they're going to have more responsibilities as far as the financial, fiscal, regarding our department.
Yeah, and being able to really look at, you know, what are the revenues that are coming in, and having someone strong in the department to look at every rec center, where are the revenues coming in, and where can this maybe convert? I'm the deputy city manager that also oversees Parks and Rec, just so. So my vision for it is that they're also able to see where do we have revenues and can those offset actual full-time personnel to come in and assist, because there is increasing.
Could you speak up?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. So to look at, I do mumble.
Old.
Sorry.
No,
my husband has hearing aids,
so
I'm really loud usually. So.
I have a head cold, so I'm having
no,
a hard time.
No, I'm sorry. So it's really looking at and monitoring the budgets for every single rec site that happens. Where are the revenues that are coming in, and how can we manage them and see is there the capacity to add additional personnel too with the funding that we have coming in from all the classes, because our revenues are exceeding that. So right now we do have an interim rec director, Lisa Rudloff. So she can't be in here. She has some medical stuff going on, but she's working on that too. Where is the revenue coming from? What is happening, and what should we be? Where should the staffing be? So it's evaluating all of that and the programming, but this position, looking at the funding.
So I want to add Kathy, who was our previous. She was doing a lot of this, so she should have been this position. So her position very much so needed to be increased. So we're very happy to have that.
When we're talking about revenues, does that include grants?
That would include grant management. This position would also be doing some grant management.
As far as revenue, for example, the Kaiser Foundation, which is, I believe, one of the largest private foundation grants to the department, that's included in revenue. We're not just talking about rental of facilities and things of that nature.
These are what we're talking about. We're talking about our programs and revenues from that. The grants are not included in that.
The grants are not included.
No.
Okay, that's good. Okay, I'm just going through my notes, so I apologize.
That's
if
okay.
I don't have these things on top of my head. I think you mentioned that some of the revenue projections are based on CPI.
So within each budget year, the city's master fee schedule allows for CPI increases. So those will be published in July, but they don't impact until I think the fall season.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a delay on when that goes up. So there's a natural progression in those fees that just happens every year.
So it's strictly capped at CPI or CPI plus another percent or two or whatever.
Let me look.
From what I saw. From finance.
Yeah, no,
it was. It's capped?
CPI, yeah.
Just CPI?
Yeah.
It's not like prime plus two when you borrow money?
No.
Okay. Now, I think I heard someone answer the question, so I apologize if the question has been answered. But I'm looking at, PDF 38, and I'm looking at salaries, and just for curiosity, in 2023, versus 2022, there's a significant decrease in salary. I think this has to do when the Rangers were moved out of Parks
Correct.
And Rec.
Correct.
Is that what's driving that?
Rangers and Parks.
Okay.
They're all in Public Works now.
Looking at the column of the 2024 adopted, which I would call the actual budget now, and the proposed for 2025, so it's a significant increase. Is this being driven by, because I'm looking at the full-time employees at 20, but I'm seeing the increase of almost $1 million, $910,000. What is driving that increase in the hourly wages? Is it additional staff?
Are you talking salary or hourly wages?
I'm talking at hourly wages.
Well, as far as part-time staff goes, that's what that would be. So we use a lot of part-time staff to teach our classes. We use for the lifeguards throughout. So, yeah, we're increasing our part-time staff.
Okay, so that has to do with part-time people?
Yes.
Not full-time?
Right. You're talking about... I'm not looking at it. So
hourly
wages is part-time staff.
It's
yes.
Part-time staff.
So that is full-time employees?
No.
No, part-time staff.
Okay. So those are higher as needed?
Yes.
It's higher as needed. We did have some salary increases during that time. And my guess, I'm going to assume it. I don't have it and I can find out. But my guess is also Loma Verde coming back online because we didn't have that rec center staffed. So I don't know if we changed hourlies based on that too.
Okay. Well, in 2023, it was $1.4 million, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's $1.8 million. So it's $400,000.
So we've had a lot of increases in pay. Over the years, and we're just now catching up.
And the pool is a lot bigger.
So I believe I heard that the increase in expenditures is covered by increases in revenue.
Correct.
Right. So this is a 36% increase, 24 versus 25, roughly 36%. And the question is, I'm looking at charges for services, which is $800,000 increase, and I'm looking at use of money and property at $354,000. Are these rosy forecasts, or are these very conservative forecasts that we are very confident that will happen?
Sure, we don't project a recession in our numbers that we have. But I will also say over the past couple years, our finance director, we've had a new finance director now for probably 2 years, 3 years. She's worked a lot on right-sizing all of the budgets where things were coming back mid-year and having to add and do that. So I think we really are sitting at numbers now that are realistic of what we're actually seeing in the previous years and right-sizing a lot of what's happening. And you'll see that throughout the city with the numbers that we have.
Okay, so then let's look at worst-case scenario,
mm-hmm.
that we move forward, fiscal year starts in July,
mm-hmm.
and halfway through the year, the numbers don't look like they're going to happen, but we've already hired these people. Would there be a reduction in staff then? Or is the city contemplating then, or the department then would have a shortfall?
I mean,
if the revenue doesn't happen.
If revenue weren't to happen, we would have to look at it. I mean, we have very minimal, I think, permanent staff in our park and recs department, considering the number of facilities we have and the size of the city. So I wouldn't anticipate a reduction in permanent staff because that there's basically one at every facility. You can't operate a facility. We shouldn't operate a facility like that. I think as we look at it too, the increased programming that we see happening with Harborside Park opening and other things, I don't anticipate if there were a shortfall. We'd have to look at it, and we would be bringing back something to council, and that would be a bunch bigger discussion. So we don't have that penciled in.
And in the event that if that were to happen,
mm-hmm.
because the city has employees that are represented by association, employee
mm-hmm.
associations, what is the time period where the city has to give notice to the employees that are
sure.
covered by an association that there could be a reduction in personnel?
Our civil service rules require 30 days.
30 days?
So that's what's required as a minimum under our civil service rules. And we have had that happen. We have given more notice than that, but the requirement under our civil service rules is 30 days.
And then, of course, management staff, there is no such thing as a 30-day
no.
period?
No.
Because we're going to have a director, an associate director.
An assistant director.
And then the other two there, the one washes the other, the admin and the technician, they kind of
can't. Yeah, those are all represented classifications. So our Parks and Rec manager and to our supervisors, those are represented classifications, and the hourly staff are not represented. So that's how the description is.
And on the hourly staff, do they exceed the threshold where the city has to provide benefits? And if so, are those included here?
The cost of that would be included in your budget because they do look at the cost of staff that are currently in place along with just kind of what is your pay. So there's two different things that happen with benefits. If an employee works more than 1,000 hours in any fiscal year, they're eligible to be rolled CalPERS for retirement. And then if you work on average more than 30 hours in a cycle, and I think our look back cycle is November 1st to the end of October, it doesn't line up exactly with what the look back cycle is. And if you average more than 30 hours during that period or you work a consistent amount of time of full time, then you would be eligible for a subsidized health benefit through the city and be able to participate in a reduced rate. I think the cap, don't quote me, under the Affordable Care Act is it can't exceed 9.5% of your salary.
I will quote you on that.
I know, I was like, don't, like, ish. I'm reformed HR, I don't know anymore, but there's much smarter people than me. So what we do as a city is we calculate that based on if anyone that's eligible for enrollment annually, we calculate what that is based on the person with the lowest hourly rate to calculate what the subsidy would be for that group of employees.
Well, thank you very much. I don't have any other questions. Any other questions from the rest of the commissioners?
Is the org chart going to be kind of stable? Because we seem to constantly move. You know, we're with the library,
yeah.
we're not, we're with Public
yeah.
Works, we're not. So it makes it really hard to track the budget from year to year.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
it's constantly changing.
I will tell you where we're at right now, which is always a changing thing. I think both library and Parks and Recs have professionals that this is what they do, this is what they know, and having someone in charge as a department over each of those groups is really important to make sure that we are doing the most we can with, one, the dollars we have, but for the size of the city that we do have. And so I am the deputy city manager that oversees this group, and this is where it will be is while I'm here. I can't make promises for the future, but I think having Lisa here, who is a retired Parks and Rec director of 30 years, is and as we have moved them, the two groups apart, but having that cohesion within the group of this is the focus and what we do is going to be, it's a the staff does a great job already, but you know, having that for the group that's here and having that built in is important.
And the park rangers report to Public Works.
They do. Works.
Okay.
And parks maintenance reports to Public Works.
Okay, thank you.
All right, if there are no further questions or comments, I will call for a motion on recommendation to council on the budget for the Parks and Rec Department. Nobody wants to make that motion?
I'll motion. Nicole Riquez.
Okay, so we have a motion for a recommendation. The recommendation is to approve?
Yes.
To concur? Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second the motion.
We have a second to the motion. Any further discussion? I'll call for the question then. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is item 5.3, which is a approval of mini pitch
yes.
Agreement.
That's mine.
Yes, it's yours too?
Yeah, I'm here. This is fun. This is the fun stuff. I'm always sending track. So U.S. Soccer Foundation approached us again. We actually already have one of their mini pitches within the city, but offering a second mini pitch. And so we have reviewed, you know, possible locations, and what we've identified for this is in the Harborside, the green box you see on the square that it's on the right-hand side. So if you can see, there's a red kind of dot next to the multi-purpose field that goes through. So this right side of your screen was previously not anticipated for activation until phase three, which would be a community center on site, which there is not a approved funding that we see right now in it. And so what we are suggesting is that we place the mini pitch. We can pour a concrete pad, and they've offered to put in a mini pitch, the largest one they have, that will also come with lighting, with sports lighting. On it to be placed at this site. So we'd like to put it here. It will run north to south, so the sun won't be in people's eyes when they're playing. But having it there to hopefully continue to activate the park and keep people not with just kind of a space with nothing on it. Dropping it there would also be the walking path around the outside of it. So we would like to for the commission to consider placement of the mini pitch at Harborside.
Is this going to be the second one?
This will be the second one.
Okay, because there's the existing one already.
Yes.
Back in 2000, I think, is when the original agreement was signed.
Yes, that seems a long time ago. It was 12? Yeah, but about that time
15?
Frame. 10 or 12.
So this will be a new agreement or an amendment to the existing agreement?
A new agreement to put the mini pitch at this location. They've asked to put it. They've asked for our purposes, so we would like to put it here.
Terms and conditions will be the same?
The same. It's for 5 years. They have access to it once a year. Very limited. They can have access to it. It's in the staff report.
I think you mentioned that there's going to be lights.
Yeah, so as part of this, we will run electrical to the site where the green space, so it will actually have sports lighting. So right now there's trail lighting kind of around
right.
the path, but this will be a much brighter sports lighting for that location.
Will it be security when that part is active at night?
Yeah, so you can see right here, the purple square on the map is actually a ranger station. So there'll be a ranger station on site, so they've already redone the bathrooms, they're working on the sod. They've actually dug out 6 inches of dirt there to make sure there's nothing in the grass. They're working at the site right now, and they're now working on the fence that's going to go all the way around. Entry will be where the purple arrow is. So there will be some lights there.
If memory serves me right, when we heard the original presentation mm-hmm. for the project, I believe that the ranger was going to be on the just business hours, and then at night there's going to be a fence to keep the area secure.
Yeah.
So if there's going to be activities with the mini pitch, will the ranger hours be extended?
That's something we're going to have to look at. So right now, when the study was first done and the community feedback was that it should be open from after school for a period of time, but not open during school hours just because of some of the things that had happened before on site during that. So right now, that is what's currently in the works for it. But when this opens to try and enhance the utilization, we are looking at a fee waiver for when the lease opens, we'll bring it back to council for possibly a year to have use of the fields to hopefully really activate the park, because that's what it's going to need. But the park will be locked when it's not open. So trying to get it as active as fast as we can to keep people there.
Any other questions?
So the use of the feature, the mini mm-hmm. pitch, that's all managed by
the recreation department.
The recreation department. Mm-hmm. Okay, so who is that going to be? Kind of like classes that are going to be available? Soccer.
I'm going to leave that up to the new director. But yeah, we are looking at like the mobile rec to be on site and do things there.
No, I mean for the pitch itself.
Yeah, the pitch, it'll be able to be reserved.
Oh.
Or maybe.
So
it's,
what is
maybe it's activated?
What is it? What is the organization called?
U.S. Soccer Foundation.
U.S. Soccer. What is their role?
Their role is they basically have sponsors that want to activate and put in certain areas. Mm-hmm. And so I do not have the name, but it's actually there's a local professional soccer player that mm-hmm. is funding a majority of this, is my understanding.
Okay. And then is there going to be like leagues develop? I mean, is that the idea?
I don't think we've gone that far down yet.
If it comes to the park and recreation side, yeah. if and when?
It is.
When? There will be talks about that, yes, okay. how we would program it.
Otherwise, you'd have to, like if I wanted to go play on that, I would have to register, or I can just go?
I'm sure there's going to be open play as well.
It would be open.
There's going to be free play as well okay. as scheduled play.
Any other questions, comments?
Harborside. Yes. Okay. I sat through like 4 hours of meetings with the local residents there. Mm-hmm. Are they aware of this?
So we will be bringing that to them. We wanted to bring it here first.
Okay.
And then we will also be bringing it to council, and we're telling the new council representative for that district as well.
When the original outreach, mm-hmm. the meetings that were held at Harborside Elementary and you may not have it in front of you, but the recommendations for...
I think there's another.
Was that one of the recommendations?
So this was the phase two that came out uh-huh. in the list of amenities where you see the multi-purpose mm-hmm. turf with lighting like we have at Lauterbach.
Mm-hmm.
And then the basketball courts, a family grass area, picnic grove, seating terrace, youth play, tot lot, because right now like there's not going to be a tot lot. Those mm-hmm. things don't, amenities don't exist. And this is still where you see all of this happens before we're even to where we're suggesting to put the mini pitch. And if you go to the next mm-hmm. slide, this is where you see the fitness area, multi-purpose gym. This is all the amenities that had come through with the group. But we do not anticipate that third phase happening in the next 5 years, which is the commitment for the mini pitch.
Mm.
Any other questions? Comment?
No.
All right, so then I'll call for a motion on whether or not to approve the soccer mini pitch agreement. So we'll make that motion. I'll make the motion to approve the soccer mini pitch agreement. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We now go to item number 6, which is staff comments.
So just a couple things. Our movies in the park, they are going to start kick it off this Friday, and then we have one a month for the rest of the summer. That'll be staffed. Our rec mobile is going to be out there. They set everything up, and they do activities before the event, and then show the movie. Movies generally end between 10:30. So,
one a month?
Huh?
One
yes.
a month?
Yes, yes, yes. It's all updated online right now, the flyers online, everything.
Is that funded through a grant?
No.
No?
No. It's funded through Parks and Rec. It's our budget. And we are getting ready. We're starting to plan for July as Parks and Rec Month. So we got a lot of a lot of things planned for that, and that'll include, I don't have the exact date, we're still in the planning process, but we are planning on doing a activities at Memorial Park by the bowl area out there, Parkway Community Center, having free swim lessons throughout the event, food, and then we'll cap it off at the end of the night with a concert at the bowl. So what else?
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Eucalyptus Park, how's that coming along?
It is the design, I want to say it's 80% construction document. No, it's a different park. I'm going to take that back. Right now, it's anticipated to stay open through summer, closing in the fall is where they're at to start construction. There are timelines that we do need to meet because we are using our funding with it. And so, and then we're actually supplementing that with Measure P funds as well to make everything look new. So that's still moving forward.
What about Harborside Park soft openings? That's still scheduled for sometime around September?
Yes, that's what we're looking at today.
Good, good. Anything else, Sean?
Nope.
I don't have any comments, but I think I've spoken a lot. Commissioner comments?
D Street Park?
D Street. Patty Davis Park.
Patty Davis, yeah.
That was a grant.
Yeah, there was something in the reader. I read about it recently. But, any update on that one?
I do not have an update on that.
You're catching me flat-footed on that one. Sorry. I've extended all my
that was part of the same. That was part of the same grant process mm-hmm. through Eucalyptus.
Mm-hmm. So. We can make sure you get an update. I think that was the one where there's something.
It dead ends at the trolley tracks. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, there's.
Now it's got new apartments on one side and like a trailer park on the other side where the street dead ends. And there, I saw something. I think the story was about putting a community garden in there or something. Mm-hmm. Might have been. The other comment, you know, once again, I went to something in El Cajon on Saturday. They had America on Main Street event. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of stuff going on. They closed down Main Street, rides, petting zoo, different concert stages. They had a free concert with a Tom Petty tribute band in the Magnolia Theater. And every Friday night from now to like the end of September, they have a concert and dinner where they bring up the food trucks on Main Street, and they have a free concert in the park every Friday night, and you buy food from the food trucks, sit there and concert. I've said this before, I'm embarrassed that El Cajon has better stuff and more stuff than Chula Vista. I mean, We're bigger than them. We're better than them. We should we should think bigger. Let's see who their sponsors are. Probably Sequan spent a lot of money there, and Kaiser Permanente, Verona, Casino, Wired Fiber. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have
the
that
Chrome
I'll
Ball.
Give it to the new director when they get on board.
There was an event. I don't know if it was by Parks and Rec, but you know, the big event. Over
the Chrome Ball.
Bay.
The Chrome Ball.
On Third
Chrome
Avenue.
Ball. Well, there's the Third Avenue one, but then over by the bay, there's been I've been. To
oh it. Yeah, they had the Earth Day, the Earth
yes,
Day
but
event.
I don't know who puts that
we
on.
We do that in conjunction with the port. That's the city.
But John is right. You know, we're bigger than El Cajon.
I grew up there. We're better.
What about it? Who is the downtown Chula Vista? Which used to be
Tava.
Mm-hmm. Is there, who do they coordinate with in the city?
They coordinate either with our city manager's office or our office of communication.
Just to kind of get, because I know that they are kind of tasked with some of that.
Yeah, they do some of it, we do some of it. So when you look at like Starlight Parade, there's things that are split, but it's usually in conjunction with both because when you get that many people on Third Avenue, everyone's engaged at that level.
Are we doing a lemon festival?
They've been doing it.
I would assume they did it last year. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure we'll do it again.
That's our answer to this thing.
Yeah, go to the downtown show this time. I'll hit them up.
I don't have anything else. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, so then we'll adjourn the meeting. The next tentatively scheduled meeting is for July 18th at 6:30 p.m. Please make sure that all materials that need to be posted are posted. A regular meeting is 72 hours, emergency meeting 24 hours. Touch bases with city clerk regarding posting. Any legal questions regarding what should be posted, we can follow up with our
city attorney.
City attorney.
Mm-hmm.
But let's make sure we get that done, please.
We will. The kiosk went down.
Yeah.
So. It happened to a number of commission meetings, so thank you for your willingness to meet on a special meeting day. Thank you.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.